Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. Hey Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. We got four stools sitting here for four guys and it ends up being two of us. So we got extra beers for us.
Yeah, we know what the problem is. I came back from a little respite and now everybody's gone. So we know I'm the issue.
No, you're not the issue. Work's the issue. They both had to work today and John got late, and then Bob had dinner plans and forgot about them until yesterday. So,
oh boy,
it's me and you, buddy.
Just like the old days, right?
Yes, just like the old days. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna have a little fun. Bob's gonna put out on our website. We're gonna do the polls for the best Hollywood Studios attractions.
Okay.
which ain't many. But anyway, there's quite a few. There's more than I thought there was there, but still not enough.
No, I agree with that. As compared to other parks, it's a little lacking right now, but it's going to get better.
Yeah, from your lips to Disney's ears, you know what I'm saying? Get this stuff done. But no, what we're going to do is we're going to read off our list. I don't have John's list with me. You didn't see John's list, did you? So we'll get John to give us his on Sunday when we do Sunday's show. But okay, we'll read off the final list that came from the census because John gave Bob his list. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we'll have that and we'll read off how the top 20, what the seedings are going to be, and then you guys on Friday, Bob's going to drop the poll on the website, and you guys can go over to vote. What is your favorite Toy Story Midway Mania Hollywood Studios attraction?
Right. So, in other words, the listeners will be able to go through this exercise on Friday, as we've already done with our lists.
Absolutely.
And
we'll have a little fun. Me and you'll go back and forth. I know the good thing is without John being here, we won't have to hear how good any of this Star Wars junk is.
This is true. This is true.
Sorry, John. I know you enjoyed the chicken wing recipe I gave you, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I did. Thank you for sending that along. I did see it. I thought you were saying I think John put up a picture. And.
Yeah, I was saying I know John enjoyed the chicken wing, so he'll take my apology for picking on his Star Wars. But
you've already greased the skid, so to speak.
Exactly, and you got to make them, dude.
I'm gonna do that this weekend. I'm gonna write the list out of what I need for ingredients, and like you guys were saying, though, most of the things we probably already have, but I'll just make sure, and I'm definitely gonna check them out this weekend.
Yeah, maybe you could pick up a Le Fin de Mont to go with the chicken legs.
Yeah, there
the chicken
you go.
Wings.
Yeah.
But, when I talked to him off the air, I asked him how good they were. He dropped some explicit words that I couldn't even talk about how great they were. But they were music to my ears this time. He wasn't cursing me out. He was praising me with curse words. So I was happy about that.
No, that's good when you have a recipe, especially when it's a simple one. I mean, you know, I know you guys cook all the time, and we do some cooking, and our son shows us some stuff, but I kind of lose interest when it turns into 3 or 4 pages and all these wild and crazy type ingredients. I don't know. I just like simple stuff, and this recipe that you for these wings look pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the 500 degrees in the oven makes them – they come out like you deep fried them. I mean,
right.
They're that good. And like I said, the worst thing in the whole recipe is a tablespoon of sugar. I think we can all get away with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's worse things in life than that, right?
Absolutely. And you're really – I can't wait to hear
how much
you like them.
No, I'm definitely going to do it.
A little hint that made it simpler is the second time we did it.
Yep.
Like if you go out and grab the ingredients this week before the weekend –
yep.
Maybe on Friday night, what you do is you put all the dry ingredients into a sandwich bag and have them all ready, and then put all the wet ingredients and put it in the fridge for tonight. So this way, when you're ready to do the wings, it's all you do is you put the rub on them, throw them in the oven, and while they're in the oven, you put the glaze or the sauce, you put that on in a little saucepan on the stove and heat that up while they're cooking. And it makes it easier. It even makes it simpler if you prep the ingredients the night before.
It's a pretty quick process, and you'd be enjoying them before you know it.
Absolutely. And like I said, I think you're really going to like them. I mean, we enjoyed them. I mean, I've done them twice already.
Did you do the thighs and the wings or both, or how did you end up doing that?
The first week, last week, we did the wings.
Okay. All right.
And then this week, being I had all the ingredients and Brenda loved it so much, like I told you, she took a spoonful of the sauce and said, my goodness, this is good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said, let's do them with thighs because the thighs have more meat on them.
Right.
But even though we did get the big chicken wings, I got lucky when I made my wings. You've seen the ones I made.
Yeah, they were huge.
They were huge. They were nice. And a little hint like me and John did, because it tells you on the recipe, right? To put it in a pan and heat the things up and then dump the wings into the pan.
Yeah.
What I recommend is you put them in the oven in the cookie sheet and you heat the sauce up in a regular pot, like a saucepan.
Right.
And then grab one of you guys have those big stainless steel mixing bowls, right?
Yep.
What you do is you take the wings out of the oven, drop them into the mixing bowl, and then pour the glaze over top of them and toss them in that so it's cold. Who wants to be taking a hot glaze, mixing with hot chicken, and have a hot pot trying to blend it? It's a lot easier to take the wings out and then put them one by one into the mixing bowl and then pour the glaze with the pot over top of them into the bowl, and then you could start shake them and move them around with a pair of tongs.
Yeah. That sounds a little easier than working with all that heat and stuff.
Yeah. It's safer, and I think it glazes the wings better. So anyway, after cooking 101 Ohana chicken wings, we're going to start off. We're going to read off the we'll do the 20. How about we'll read down ours, and then I'll give you what Bob's is. And what we'll do is we'll say what was 20 for each one of us, and then we'll just keep going down. Hold on. Let me see who I have here. This is Bob's list. And then there's my list. Okie dokie. Mm-hmm. And then I got yours. Okie doke. You want to read what your number 20 was?
Yeah. Number 20 for me was Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away.
And then mine was Disney Junior Live on Stage.
That's a good one.
And then Bobby was, hold on, he wants the exact pronunciation on it. His was Disney Junior Live on Stage. I mean, we're going to go through these last, I bet these bottom 6 or 7, I don't think any of us, the three of us barely do any of these.
Right.
When's the last time you did Disney Junior Live on Stage?
I think I saw it when it used to be Doug.
You Doug Live?
Doug? Yeah.
Yeah, Doug Live.
I think
Live.
That's the last time I even acknowledged it was there. I mean, I know it's there and what you know, the characters now. What did you say they were?
Doug Live, or Disney Junior Live on
Disney
Stage.
Disney Junior, yeah. I mean, I couldn't tell you what it is, but number one, we've never seen it because our kids were, you know, past that age bracket when we started going to Disney when it was Doug Doug Live or whatever.
Yeah, the only reason I seen Doug Live is because this guy over here has the same name.
Yeah, it has the name, right?
Yeah, and I took my picture next to the sign, so I had to see what the heck was going on, but that was about it.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, you know, it's probably a very good show, and Disney does a good job of providing entertainment for all ages. And just because it's not something that we do, I'm not even saying that it isn't good, but this is our personal lists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had mine up, you know, higher on my list than you and Bob. But, you know, I understand why you'd have it at 20. You have zero interest in it, and I understand that.
What's 19 for you?
19 for me is Star Wars: The Adventure Continues.
No, oh, jeez, we're both in the same bar. And Bob's mad at me because he said I was writing this at work. So,
right.
And I got Star Wars: The Adventure Continues too for 19. And All right. And our good buddy Bob has, for the first time in forever, Frozen Sing Along Celebration. Now, I'd rather sing with Frozen than Star Wars right now.
I would agree with that statement.
And Bob, for 18, has Voyage of the Little Mermaid. I can't believe that's that low.
Yeah, it is. Much lower. I think it deserves to be higher in the list. That's my opinion. I mean, regardless of how good you think the show is, I mean, that is a Disney classic, or at least a classic from the second renaissance of the Disney films, right? You know, when The Mermaid and Lion King and all those great animated features that came out, you know, seemingly one after another there, that was in that in that time frame. So I think it deserved a little bit more kudos or whatever you want to say.
What's next for you? What's number 18?
Number 18 for me is the Star Wars Launch Bay.
Okay. And mine is Jedi Training, Trials of the Temple of the Mischief of the First Order. As you can tell, me and you are going to have our Star Wars just mixed and matched.
Yep. When Bob listens to this and we kill these names, we're going to hear it, I'm sure.
And, well, the good thing is Bob at 17 has Jedi Training Trials of the Temple, so he's down quite a bit. What's 17 for you?
Path of the Jedi for me.
And 17 for me was for the first time in forever. So I put it down a little further.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's 16.
16 for me is Star Wars: A Galactic Spectacular.
And Bob's is Star Wars: Path of a Jedi. And right. 16 for me. I'm going back and forth between our two lists, so bear with me, everybody. And mine was Star Wars: Path of a Jedi, too. 15 for you, Den?
15 was the Jedi Training Trials of the Temple.
Mine was Launch Bay, kicked right on in. Poor John is like so pissed off he's not here right now. See, this is what you get for missing, John.
Yeah, he could have been here to defend it.
This one really got me with Bob. Beauty and the Beast live on stage. I don't think that's even right.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think he's ever seen that. If I remember right, they've just never taking that show in, which I know we've talked about it for what it is. It's not a bad little, almost Broadway quality, little theater there.
I think it's awesome myself. I enjoy it. And like I've told the story, one of me and Brenda's first dates was I'm really fond of Beauty and the Beast. I know you listen to me and John talk about it. Truck driver and a general contractor talking about Beauty and the Beast. It was hysterical. But, it has sentimental value. It was one of the first movies me and my wife watched together. So it was really nice. So
not wrong with that.
14 for you.
14 for me is the, for the first time, Frozen Sing-Along.
And Bob was March of the First Order. Okay. So we're pretty close there.
Yeah.
And mine was Jedi Training.
All right, so we got pretty much got rid of all the Star Wars stuff, at least you and I on the bottom third of the list.
Absolutely. Number 13.
13 for me is Disney Junior Live.
Okay, so you gave that a little more respect because it's a kind of a ride that's been there for – it's a Disney ride.
Yeah, to be quite honest, it finished where it did for me only because – and again, Star Wars is not my favorite thing, so all of the – well, I guess I would say it like this. Probably after I do the Star Wars stuff – you know, I'd probably some of these things might have risen a little higher on my list, but not only am I not a Star Wars fan, but I have not seen any of these in person. So I have zero to base this on. So Fear of the Unknown, they ended up, you know, last on my list, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely it does. My number 13 is, and I know everybody who listens to the show is surprised it's not further, but is Indiana Jones a Stunt Spectacular?
Oh boy.
I pick on it, and everybody knows I do, but I have enjoyed it a few times. I've enjoyed it more than any of this other Star Wars thing. The only thing I will say I messed up on the list is the fireworks were phenomenal. The nighttime spectacular. Yeah, I should have actually had them higher. I'll be honest, after I made the list, I realized where I had it.
Right. And you said, nah, it can stay.
It can stay. I'm not going to redo the list. Right.
But I remember you talking pretty highly about
that. It was awesome. Yeah. So I apologize. If you guys like it, you're going to be able to vote for it. So really, it's not going to affect anything that much anyway.
Right.
But I did like it. It should have been higher. Indiana Jones is – we've talked a million times. If you're an Indiana Jones fan and you haven't seen it before or your first time to the park, it's a good show.
Yeah.
As long as everything's working, it's a good show. It's just – the reason it's so low for me is I'm over it.
Right. Been there, done that many, 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 many times.
Yeah, got the T-shirt. And Bob 13 is Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away. And I'll go to Bob's 12. Bob's 12, which I'm a little shocked by this, is Fantasmic is 12.
Yeah, when I did see Bob's list when he sent it, when was it, last night or early this morning? And I was shocked at that, too. I'm going to guess, though, it's less about the quality of the show and more about hanging around the studios till 9:30 or whatever time it happens to go off on a given night. And my guess is he's just not interested in staying at that park to that time. So that's why he rated it so low on his list.
12 for you?
12 for me is Voyage of the Little Mermaid. Again, I'm getting in, at least on my list, to the more mainstream
the good stuff's finally coming.
Yeah, at the studio. So, I mean, this had to go somewhere, obviously. And, you know, it's, you know, down on the list as far as the Disney stuff goes. Like I said, the mainstream stuff. So,
well, that's next, what it is. Next for me is, do you want to build a snowman?
Oh, boy.
Frozen sing-along. but, yeah, Frozen sing-along. I don't care what anybody says. I enjoy the Frozen music. I took my three girls, I might as well say. My wife, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law. I took them all to the movies. We seen this together. I like the song. That's the reason I liked the movie was the music. I admit it. I'm a geek. I liked it.
Oh, yeah. That soundtrack is one of the better ones from the Disney animated classics. I mean, there's, in my view, there's, you know, at least three songs that are pretty much major hits, and even some of the secondary songs aren't too bad either.
Let it go, let it go. Oh, did I? Am I going off on that again?
what's the woman that sang Adele?
India Menzel.
Yeah, I mean, I even bought her CD from, you know, some of the stuff she did off of that. So I never even heard of her before I knew, you know, before I knew she was the woman singing in the Frozen movie. So, yeah, I got sucked in. I bought some music.
And you want to know a little trivia? Her ex-husband is Taye Diggs, and he actually follows us on Twitter. our podcast on Twitter.
I remember you telling me that. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I DM'd him. He likes the show, so.
Okay, well, hey.
He could be lying to us, probably.
No,
but
he's be listening right now.
Yeah, Taye Diggs. But anyway, the other thing is, did you hear the new Lion King's coming out?
No, they're
doing a new Lion King, which I'm very excited about. That's the report, so.
You say they're doing a new Lion King. They're going to do another animated.
No, from what I'm getting, it's going to be a live action, kind of like the Jungle Book and all.
Oh, okay.
That's and the new Beauty and the Beast, kind of get, that's the trend now.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds interesting. I mean, obviously that's a multi-billion dollar,
franchise.
Franchise. There you go. Thank you. You know, so you got to believe it'll do very well.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is, it's going to be with Mufasa. It's going to have James Earl Jones in it. So that even makes it better for me.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if there'll be we have the theatrical, presentation that they do with, like, not puppetry, but, they have the wooden faces of the animals and stuff. It'll be interesting if it's just going to be straight up actors, playing the roles, or whether it's going to be some sort of visual, kind of like Nemo, how they do the flag puppets or whatever. I mean, there may be a way they're going to present it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's going to be identical to what the Jungle Book kind of was.
Okay.
Animated, live action animation, kind of like the new Beauty and the Beast is.
Yep.
Where
yep.
they have the, the different characters are still going to be cartoon, and then you got Emma Watson, and the Beast is going to be animated and live, you know what I'm saying?
So yep.
I'm looking forward to that, though. Now that I got off track again, mine at number 11 was Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Okay. I have that right in there. What do we see? Yeah, 11 for me is I gave Voyage of the Little Mermaid was 12, and then for 11 I have Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, so I forgive you. And Bob is Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. Let's go to 10 for Bob. Bob is a Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular at 10. So that's where.
And that's the fireworks, correct?
Yes, and that's where. Okay. You know, and if I, like I said, if I wasn't such an idiot, it would have been higher. And I'm sorry I keep saying, like I said, because I'm an idiot there, too. So 10 for Bob, Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular. What's 10 for you, then?
10 for me is Indiana Jones.
No, you gave it more cred than I did. So
yeah, like I said, I probably haven't seen it as many times as you is probably what it is. But I mean, for all the things you said, I agree with. It's kind of a tedious show in that it takes an effort to get in there. The lines can be long, and it takes. I just remember it taking a while because it loads so slow that if you happen to get there right when they start letting people in. You know, what would you say? You got at least 30 minutes, if not more, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got a little time.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's you talk about Ellen being a long attraction. Indiana Jones, from the time you walk in the queue, from the time you get out of there, it takes some time.
Oh, absolutely. Number 10 for me is Live on Stage, Citizens of Hollywood.
Okay.
I mean, I enjoy it. It's an okay show. I enjoy it. I mean, it's I don't know. Have you ever seen that?
Citizens of Hollywood. See, when I read that, and I'm probably dead wrong, and if I am, I'll fall on my sword here. I thought that meant to represent the
streetmosphere
across the whole park. At least that's how I rated it. I didn't rate it as a singular show. I rated it as, the cop and all the women and, all the people you see all around the studios.
Yeah, and that's basically how I did it, too. If we're wrong, we're both idiots then.
Okay. Well, that wouldn't be the first time.
No, and it won't be the last. I can promise you that. What's number 9 for you?
9 for me is Tower of Terror, which probably is controversial. I mean, I could have rated it higher based on
you did what Bob did with some things, so.
Yeah. Well, I've never been on it, so I can't rate it that high because I'm a baby and won't go on it, but that's my problem.
Well, at least you did the cheater one. You went through it.
I did. After, 2 years of you hounding me, on the last time when we were both down there, I went through the outdoor and went through the gift shop and took some pictures and kind of got a feel for at least the, the.
Aren't you glad you did that, though, to get the feel? It's nice in there.
It was like seeing something new, that I'd been going to that park for, since 97, and I'd never stepped foot anywhere near that, area of the park. So, yeah, it was a kind of a, something new for me anyways. Yeah, it was awesome.
And now your next one is to do the same thing with Mission Space.
yeah, that's next on the list. Absolutely.
Yeah, you walk through the exit of there, and there's some really neat stuff in there, so.
I'm just always afraid I'm somehow going to get swept up and, get forced into a line that I can't get out of, and I'll end up having to do it.
No, you won't. I promise you that.
You can blame me.
And if something happens, go in the green. Some happens going to green.
Okay. All right. I'll remember that.
Number nine for me is Star Tours. And okay. Star Tours is the same as you, Dan. It's a great ride, but yep. something had to be down here for me. And Star Tours isn't an every trip I do kind of ride. It's because me and my motion sickness, because I'm an idiot. I have ADD. I look away, and then I get sick.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing, too. At least with the other one, whether you got sick or not, you could count on it. You know what I'm saying? You know, with the changing endings or the little – well, not the endings, but the whole shows are different. You don't know which one you're going to get. So there may be one or two that really bother you and others don't. But if you obviously don't know going on, it may preclude you from going on at all like you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get on it here and there if I'm feeling really good. I ate everything perfect that day. You know what I'm saying? It's right. like I'll do it, but I don't get sick every time. It isn't worth the risk sometimes. I just don't feel like dealing with that. It don't make me get sick to the point where I get sick, but it just has me off for a little bit. It kind of like the first stage when you're getting the flu. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That queasy feeling.
Well, it's kind of fun. I think it's kind of funny, too, that, you know, as we get older and, you know, we'd sit here crabbing about our necks hurting and this hurting and that hurting. But, you know, when I started going in 97, that never, ever, ever bothered me. But somewhere along the way, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got off once and I was like, whoa, what's this all about? And you know, you get that little in the pit of your stomach, you know, the little motion sickness. And, you know, the ride hasn't changed. I mean, I'm talking before they, you know, did the retrofit and added the alternate endings and all that stuff. But, yeah, I'm the same way now. So I tend to – I mean, I always liked it, and I think it's the technology is cool and the whole thing is good. But I'm like you. I don't want to risk – you know, even a couple hours of feeling a little off because, you know, even if you were going to go to eat later on or, you know, whatever you might do, if you're not feeling well, you know, it pretty much kills everything.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it. I really don't. It's just safer to go around it because it's not life or death for me to ride that ride.
Hello?
No, I'm here, Dan. What do you think? I lost you?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you all of a sudden.
I think you muted yourself by accident, didn't you?
I don't have the button, Amy.
That's what I thought you did. But anyway, Bob's was nine with Star Tours, and thanks for saying hello to me, buddy. You missed me.
Okay. What are we? You just did nine?
Bob's was nine. It was Star Tours, The Adventure Continues. This one really has me. I'm going to go to Bob's next one. Eight. He is Toy Story Mania.
Wow. I thought you were going to yell at me.
No, I'm like, holy moly, eight Toy Story Mania? Are you kidding me?
Well, hey, that's why they make vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah, well, this is strawberry, dude.
The only reason I'm defending them is because I have Toy Story Mania at seven.
Oh, well, you're not as bad.
A little nicer than he was.
Yeah, eight for me is Beauty and the Beast. What's eight for you?
Eight for me is One Man's Dream.
Okay, well. And that's a little higher for me, but not, you know, and I know why you get it, because everything else here is pretty much close to being interchangeable.
Right. There's some very strong attractions in the, you know, top five, let's say, here. So that's one of those things. I mean, you know how I feel about Walt and that attraction in particular, but it's one of, you know, in fairness to the other attractions, I felt I needed to put that there in order to make room for some stuff I really, really, really like later on in the list.
And seven, you screwed up and made Toy Story seven. And I put Fantasmic at seven. It's a phenomenal show. I don't see it every trip, but I have to give it respect for how awesome it is. You know, the first time I seen it, it blew me away with the water, you know, all the shows. When they had a projection on the water, it was like cutting edge at the time when that came out.
Oh, yeah. You bring tears to your eyes. If you can think back the way you felt and what you were seeing the very first time you saw it, right?
Yeah, and here feeling the heat from the saucer and all that stuff. Maleficent. It's a great show.
It is a great show.
It just – I wish it was easier to see.
Right. Again, we repeat things because that's what we do here. If I could be in a helicopter and, you know, shimmy down a rope and be put in my seat a mere 30 seconds –
I would pay for that.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, that would be funny. But, you know, no, I mean, half the, you know, things that put people off is, one, there's nothing to do at that park. Two, you got to hang around all day to wait to 7:30 or
there 7. There it is right there, Dan. Yeah. Right there is the reason why I haven't seen it. Because yep. I can't stay at that park late no more. It always seems like we end up there early. The last time we did it was years ago because we were at the park late because we ate dinner late at the Brown Derby.
Right.
That was the only reason we were there because we wanted to eat at the Derby, and that was the only night we could eat. So we made those reservations to be at that park at night. And that park, I do like to visit every couple years at night because it is beautiful with all the neon lights. It's a beautiful park.
Yep.
It's just you can't spend all day there.
No, and not only that, I mean, I think I might have even said this on the last show, that show routinely gets canceled or delayed because of lightning strikes. And again, I get it. It's a safety issue. The metal aluminum seats and metal all around the stage, the show the stadium.
The amphitheater.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of things that can go wrong, and there's a big, big, big commitment to stay for a show that, although is an excellent show, not something that, you know, I feel you need to. Now, again, if you've never been to Disney World and it's your first time, break your neck to see it. It's an awesome, awesome show. But anybody that's been there more than two or three times and you've seen it, there's no need to do that. You have other places to go and people to see.
And I think also, Dan, and so we can keep going, so because we're trying to expedite this show tonight for a change for us. We're trying to do it a short show for us is 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Yeah. But I don't want to get too winded. But the reason I think that's one, besides the music being phenomenal for Illuminations, I think Illuminations is also the one I see the most because it's so easy to see. It's so comfortable to see. It's so nice to see. You can wait for it. You're never worried. Like, it's a hassle-free show. We're even – Wishes is – like, the last time we're trying to stop, and I'm getting yelled at because of the way the Magic Kingdom is, the way they tape it all off. Remember, weren't we together? Yep. We were trying to see it?
Yes, yes. You're
and,
right.
I mean, and they're treating us like we're criminals, dude. Yeah. Am I
behind
wrong?
The line.
And it's like it's just an aggravation sometimes to see Wishes because I'm sorry, man. You've met me. You've been with me, Dennis. See how – have you ever seen many people – I mean, for only being with me for a little bit, you can see I'm nonstop. I don't sit down. Right. I don't move. I mean, just sitting there waiting for Wishes to get a good seat is a – I don't want to waste an hour of my night.
Right. I mean, like you said, at least at Illuminations or Epcot and World Showcase, you can be doing other things and waiting for Illuminations at the same time. You could be grabbing a beer or you could be, you know what I mean? There's other things that distract you or, you know, occupy your time while you're waiting. Whereas Fantasmic, and if you're on Main Street for Wishes, you know, there's pretty much you just got to sit there and there's not much else to do. So I totally agree.
And I think Wishes is absolutely – I mean, when we seen the other show, the newer one, the newer version with the Wreck-It Ralph and everything, the castle changing. I mean, dude, that is absolutely awesome. I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah. But it's like I don't want to stand there with 50 complete strangers playing bumpity bump, bump, bump with them, you know, grinding in and moving and having, you know – I just don't feel like being in a cattle chute waiting for a half hour, 40 minutes for the show to start. That's the other thing, too, that's really cool about the Tree of Life Awakens now. You can stand around in all different areas, and it's the same thing. You can just look at it, not be – we watched it the last time, me, my brother-in-law, and my godson, and it was like we had nobody within 5 feet of us. It was nice. That's the way Doug likes it. You know, I don't know, and I know it's my problem, but Dan, you've seen the crowd. I mean, and the parks, when we were there, except for the night at Epcot with Saturday night, the parks really weren't over the top. They were crowded, but it wasn't unbearable at any time. Would you agree with me on that?
I would agree with that. They were busy, but not slammed.
Yeah, because we were walking on. I mean, Kilimanjaro Safari, we walked on with a 5 minute wait, if that. We walked all the way to the front the night we were there. I mean, it wasn't even 5 minutes. It was listed at five. It was actually two. I mean, the only crowds we ran into really bad the whole week was that night at Epcot.
And Saturday night, you know, you had to expect that.
Yeah, and even the Magic Kingdom that night, like, we went on everything we wanted to. And you met us there, remember? And, like, you had the same night. Tell me it didn't seem like it was packed to the gills when when the show started.
Oh, which show are you talking about?
Wishes. Nighttime Spectacular started there at the Magic Kingdom. It was like, I mean, we had cast members screaming at us. I'm like, I don't want to stand there. There's no room there, so I can't see it? I don't know. And that's the reason why I think, because like we said, Illuminations is so carefree. I've watched Illuminations from probably 100 different spaces, 100 different places.
I mean, how many times I know you've done this, you know, if you parked at the beach club or the yacht club, you can stand right on the bridge there. And as the show winds down, you kind of get a jump on everyone and out the international gateway. And you're back in your room within, 10 minutes, depending on where you're staying.
Absolutely. Or I mean, and then like the last time we were just walking around, there was we know where the barge comes in. At the back, where the bridge opens up, to let the we watched it this last time, the three of us, the one night, because I seen it twice this year. The one night we walked right as soon as you go past the barge, there's that little inlet there where it overgoes the little brick wall. You know what I'm saying? The railing brick wall. Yep. We watched it from there. The show was starting. We strolled up and watched it. There was no hassle, no problem. I mean, then the other time I joked around that we had the family run in front of us. I was only just making a point.
Right,
we moved aside a little bit. It was just irritating that they had to have my exact spot. But I've seen it 100 times. I more gave the father a dirty look, but I was happy to let the kids see the show.
Right.
But, yeah, and I'm glad they were energetic to get up there. They were, you know, they excited about it. So I just let it go. But I did give the father a what for. But but it's just so nice to see that show. And that's why I think everybody falls in love with Illumination. So.
Yeah, well, hopefully we have at least a couple more years to still enjoy it before something else comes along.
Bob's number six. Well, it's number seven for Bob with Star Wars Launch Bay.
Okay.
Him and John probably had that in common. I wonder if John had Launch Bay 1.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. He don't, but I bet
he does. Yeah, you never know.
Number six for Bob is Walt's One Man's Dream, which I think me and him agree on that. What's six for you?
Six for me was the Streetmosphere, the Citizens of Hollywood.
Yeah, I know you love them. That's a great time, man. Me and Brenda and Donna, the trip before, and I think Donna was in love with the cowboy, and she'll beat me up every time she hears this. But we were cracking off. That's just good old Disney fun. I still remember the very first time I seen them. It was the they had the bullhorn. Not the bullhorn, but like the cone where they're yelling through.
Yeah, yeah.
Extra, extra. And – The very first one of them I see, me and Brenda's walking in. We're going by Oscar's truck. And there's this woman walking with this blue outfit on, with this big old hat on. And she's strutting it down the road. I'm like, Brenda, get a load of this thing. I'm like, what's up with her? And then all of a sudden, we see a cop. And I'm like, because it was my first time there.
Right.
And the cop starts yelling at her. I'm like, well, he thinks she's nuts too. And then I realize he's a cop from like the 1950s.
Right. But see, isn't it funny how innocent you were at that time? That's when it's the most fun because you were truly – you really didn't have a sense of what was going on. And you put two and two together understood what was going on. But for us, you know, a minute or however long it took to figure it out, you know, you're kind of like, what the heck is going on? Like, you know, a lot of times when they come out, they'll make a lot of unnecessary noise. Like, they'll throw 2x4s down and make, like, that slapping noise on the concrete. And you're like, that noise shouldn't be in here, you know, but you're not sure what it is.
Exactly. Like, this time just totally got me because, like, and that was the first time. So I was a little off. But what happened is as we walked down the road, then we went to the left there where where 50s Prime Time and all is, and Hollywood, you know, that store's right there. You know what I'm talking about, the clothier store. They had a bunch of director's chairs set up, and then you really seen the whole thing going on.
Right,
But and that was the same thing, like everybody picks on me for the chocolate at Epcot. You know, when you're in that moment, that's the beauty of Disney. You're just being in the moment. You're not trying to think too much. You're just trying to be – you're off your game a little. You're relaxing. You're just –
Right. You let your guard down a little bit.
Yeah, it's letting the fantasies come true. You understand what I'm saying? It's just you're being a kid again in some ways. And but yeah, I seen her walking down in that big old hat. I did go to my wife. I was like, get a load of her. I was thinking nothing of it. And then all of a sudden she gets in that argument, like I said, with that cop. And then I was like, damn, what'd she do? He knows she's nuts too, I'm saying. Well, and then Brenda goes, look, hon, over there. And she points in. And I said, oh, okay.
Well, the woman, I think her name is Desmond something or other. She's the one that wears like the purple gown, and she's got real pasty white makeup on. She's been there forever.
Uh-huh.
But one day she called me. She was calling me Mr. French. You remember him from the you remember Family Affair, that show that was on years ago?
Yeah,
she thought I looked like Mr. French, so I didn't know how to take that, but I took it well. But she teased me all the way around the park every time. Oh, there's Mr. – you know, and you know how they talk real loud so that everybody hears. And, you know, so she was teasing back and forth, and I ended up taking a picture and all that good stuff, which, again, that stuff is –
they're the memories that we all love.
Of all the things I did that day, that's probably the only thing I remember. And I probably rode multi-million-dollar attractions and ate expensive meals. And, you know, I can't remember any of that, but I remember the stupid, you know, Mr. French comment.
Absolutely. Hey there, Mr. French, or however she called. You know what I'm saying?
Right, dear.
But the thing that cracked me up is, like, with me and Brenda that day and Donna. Like, we got some treats out of the candy store and the whole nine yards, and then all of a sudden they pull up with the car and they're all piling out and they're all telling jokes and you applaud for the funniest joke and it's just a good time.
Yep.
That's the stuff that don't ever stop. Hopefully they don't start charging for that.
Well, if you stand over here for $10 more,
exactly,
you can see the three Street Sphere performance.
Or they might just pull out a little credit card machine, like a little iPhone, and you got to swipe it to get them to perform.
Yeah,
they'll all stand there together. If somebody don't swipe them to perform, they're just not going to do anything.
Well, if you remember, though, in all seriousness, they did cut back. I know at the studios, they laid off some of the performers, and I think they brought some of them back. But I'm going to say, in general, they don't do it as much. I mean, it used to be like it was over the top. I mean, it was everywhere. But I got to say that if I think back to how it was in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, I think it's, you know, it's there, but it's not as prevalent as it was back then. Would you agree?
Absolutely, because I miss – what is it? Mulch and Shears, what was it?
Yeah, Mulch and Shears, the gardeners, and they had the truck. Yeah, they just stopped. What was it? Probably a year and a half ago or something was their last show.
Yeah, and then the other ones I miss too is the – I haven't seen them in a while – is the janitors over at Epcot. They used to play the drums. They used to play the trash cans as drums, and I miss all that stuff.
Yeah, the Jaminators are still there. I saw them not the last trip but the trip before. Then they also – they're called something else during Flower and Garden. That there's a different play. Same guys, and they do the same thing, but they're – plant related somehow. I forget how, but they're still there. I know that.
Yeah, the point I was making though is I didn't, they used to be, I would see them a couple times a trip. I didn't see, we were at Epcot four times this last trip. I didn't see them once. You know what I'm saying? That's the point I'm making. It don't even seem like they perform as much.
Yeah, that could very well be it. I mean, usually they're, you know, where the electric umbrella is, if you take that left and go under the overpass there, right to the right in front of the bathrooms, almost, you know, out a little bit. You know where I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
On the side of Mouse Gear there. They're usually out there when they perform. But, I mean, they're kind of a stationary thing where you can see them in the same location. I mean, going back to the studios, I mean, the Streetmosphere, you know, what I like about it is it appears to be a little more spontaneous, and they kind of show up at different locations. Like when you're going down Sunset Boulevard, I know the cop always comes out at a certain place and – you know, he'll start writing a ticket or, you know, he'll ask you, you know, why you're loitering on this bench, and he'll strike up a conversation with you. And, you know, the next thing you know, he's got you cuffed to the bench and the paddy wagon's coming down. I mean, you know, there's just a ton of stuff that they do. And it's, you know, and once, you get to be veterans like us and you know it's coming. I like to, you know, people watch and see how first timers react to seeing some of this stuff. And you relive it in your own mind how it was for you, you know?
Yeah, I had him arrest my godson Donnie on one trip. Told him he stole something from the store. Yeah. Just messing with him, you know what I'm saying? He's all, number six for me was One Man's Dream, which, you know, that never gets old to me. It's phenomenal to me. Last trip we were in there, which, like I said, my godson and my brother-in-law, they're history buffs just like I am. So that was one of the good things where we could stay in there for, you know, for an hour, and it wasn't an hour, and it wasn't too long for them. Right. And I really enjoyed that. I mean, and then we got to see, you know, as I said, Dr. Strangelove, instead of Dr. Stranger, we got to see that on the last, and I really enjoy that. I really enjoy One Man's Dream. I could spend hours in there, really.
Yeah, I mean, I've never taken the time to look at it like I really want to look at it, and that's a shame on me. But I was going to say, I almost always see something new or something I overlooked. I mean, I know they change some of the artifacts out now and again, but, you know, if you read every one of those little placards in there and look at the, you know, little you know, whatever they have in the glass cases. I mean, you really could spend hours in there if you really, really looked at it all. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, I'm going to admit it. I mean, not that I get bored, but, you know, I can only read so long and, you know, then I got to go on and do something else. So, you know, there's probably still stuff in there that I haven't really taken in fully yet.
See, only new stuff, only things that I haven't seen is the stuff that's new when they replaced it or moved it out, because even Brenda loves reading all that stuff. So she don't get, you know, she don't get fidgety either in there. Like, she's happy to see his school desk and she's in, and my wife loves all, that's why she loves the Brown Derby too. My wife loves that era. Like, my wife always says she would like to be in the 40s or 50s. She thinks she's more that kind of girl than she is today with the social media and all that. She refuses to do any of that. You know, and
not
going to
find
her
on Twitter, huh?
No, you're not. So, not anytime soon anyway, except when I put her on and then she gets pissed at me. So, to continue on, number five for me is Muppets.
That's exactly where I have number five is Muppets for me as well.
It never gets old to me. And especially me and you're the two old men. I'm Waldorf. We're sitting up in the box.
Yeah.
How can we get tired of our ride or our show?
That is a great show. I mean, although I do want it to be revamped, but I enjoy that show.
It never gets old to me. It's kind of like that sits in the same class as Pirates and Haunted. It's kind of like, you know, great movie ride and Muppets are like Haunted Mansion and Pirates to me. They're
old
staples.
Standbys. Yep.
Bob went with Citizens of Hollywood at five, and then he went with Muppets at four. So he's right in the same boat as us two.
Yeah, around the same area. At four, I have Star Tours, which, again, it's pretty high on my list, but I have reservations because of what we spoke of before with the queasiness on occasion.
And for me, number four is Rock and Roller Coaster.
Okay.
I appreciate the ride. It's just I like the other three that I have in front of it better. It's just that simple.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's got to go somewhere. Three for me was the Great Movie Ride. So that's one of my all-time favorites of all the park attractions. I mean, you know how much I love the People Mover. And I would say the Great Movie Ride is almost on par with that. I mean, obviously, there's a little bit more to see on the Great Movie Ride. Well, I won't even say that. There's a lot to see on the TTC, too. But Great Movie Ride, although it's nothing thrilling or exhilarating, I think that it's a great representation of, you know, a lot of movies, obviously, and Disney movies. And who doesn't like the Wizard of Oz and the Witch?
It's a classic one-of-a-kind ride. I mean, Bob has that at three. I actually have that at two.
Yeah, and I did deservingly so. I think.
And Bob has Twilight Zone Tower of Terror at two. What do you have at two?
I have Fantasmic. And like I said, when I say Fantasmic, I speak only of the show itself. I'm not taking into account the queue or how late it plays. I'm just talking about when the show finally comes on and you're watching the fire and water and the giant dragon and Mickey all over the place. And I think the soundtrack to that is one of the stronger ones. Yeah, it is, exactly. And it involves, you know, the boss himself. So there's not a lot of attractions, in fact, very few at Walt Disney World that actually have Mickey Mouse in any way, shape, or form. And this is one of the ones where he truly is the star of the show.
Well, you like that because that's why you have PhilharMagic so high too. Because you like Mickey's PhilharMagic, even though it's all mostly Donald. But
they did a bait and switch there on that one, right?
Yeah, they did.
Have you believe that it's all about Mickey, and it's not the truth.
Well, like I just said, I had Great Movie Ride at 2, so that shows you how much I respect that. That was my second favorite there. And Bob's number one, you know what Bob's number one is, right?
I didn't look at his list. I could.
Well, you know, he talks about it all the time. Rock and Roller Coaster is his favorite in that park.
Ah, okay. Yeah, he did. He just said that last week. I should have remembered that. But I got to agree with him. I have it at, you know, and I gave it a number one, and I'm going to say that the last three times I've been to Walt Disney World, I haven't even wrote it. Obviously, I've written it many, many, many times, and, you know, Aerosmith being a Boston band and one of my favorites, when that happened and I realized that there was an attraction in Florida that featured Aerosmith and in my, you know, Mickey Mouse land, those two things together were just so cool. I couldn't believe that, you know, kind of like, that shouldn't be there. You're like, that's a separate part of my life. But, you know, I that makes it especially cool for me. I mean, it could be the Rolling Stones. It could be, you know, name another band or whatever. And it'd still be all right. But for me, Aerosmith puts it over the top.
Well, I can't. I mean, like I said, there's no wrong decision in the top five, really, out of any of these. But and everybody knows what mine is. For the same way that you like Aerosmith and Rock and Roller Coaster, you have them. It has local things. To me, Toy Story Midway Mania is my favorite, which, you know, has always been a true number one for me there.
Yeah.
And I've told it a million times on this show. The ride is phenomenal. I love competing on that ride. I love the competition. Like me and Mike, I was so proud of myself that I took that 20-year-old out. He couldn't believe how I was still pulling that string. I told him, the old man, I had my carpal tunnel going because I had a rough week of work the week before I left. My hand was really hurting.
Yeah.
But I really, old war stories here. But it was the competing was phenomenal. I loved the whole thing. I love that ride. It's my favorite bar none. It's always in my top few in all the parks.
Right.
But the biggest reason I love that ride and everybody knows is the Lincoln Logs, the Mousetrap, the Etch-a-Sketch, all the stuff in there. I just love the queue in that ride. And when I see the Lincoln Logs, I think about laying on my dad's floor building cabins and playing Cowboys and Indians. You know what I'm saying? Where the Indians won in my game.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
support the family.
Absolutely. They would take over the fort and actually have a stove. Put the Cowboys out in the teepees. But
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But I remember all these things at my dad's house. I remember Mousetrap, getting my grandpop. And, you know, my grandpop, you know, you played Mousetrap, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many a time.
Yeah, I felt bad for him as I got older. It would make me laugh because I remember him getting down on the floor. He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
Getting down on the floor to build Mousetrap was such a pain in the butt. You'd put that whole damn thing together for it to fall down in 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's all the things, the Army men. Thinking about how many times you played Army as a kid. And that's what I love about that ride because it invokes so many memories every time I walk through it. Like my wife tells me about how she wished she still had. Know the viewfinder that's in there?
Yep.
She had a Disney World viewfinder, like a Mickey Mouse one, that she got as a kid that her mom threw away that she wished she still had. You know what? Know how cool that would be to have a Mickey viewfinder from the 70s?
Yeah. Remember the round disc with the picture? I mean, I had tons of them at the bottom of my toy box. And, you know, at the time, I just, you know, really abused them. But I wish I had them now. I mean, I don't even remember what they were. But I remember the smell of the plasticky smell they had. I mean, I could visualize that from them. I mean, every kid or family had at least one viewfinder, right?
Yes, and we all played. How much did you like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, Dad? Oh, it was so cool to beat my brother's butt and beat my dad, you know? You knew the spot to hit him. And, I mean, but all these things remind me of different things in my childhood growing up and my wife's. And the cool thing is, then, there's been a lot of times on that ride, and I highly recommend, like I tell everybody, Fast Pass is good, but you lose half the ride when you're doing that.
You got to do the queue in that attraction. That's more – I enjoy that. Like you say at Everest, I enjoy the queue more than the attraction. That's me there. Because
you're not a video game guy kind of guy. See, I grew up, that's my deal. But, and I get what you're saying, but tell me how many times it hasn't invoked. Like, I've learned things. Me and my wife been together for so long, and I like that because it invokes conversation in there. You learn something new. Like, every time you're in there, it makes me think of something else that's happened in my childhood.
We did it with my kids. We ended up talking about, you know, the barrel of monkeys. You know, my son's like, oh, that's stupid. What does that do? And, you know, I had to explain to him what you did with them and the different color ones. And, you know, and it you're right. It invoked conversations that probably never would have happened. And, you know, they kind of – my kids got a glimpse into our childhood that, you know, they're playing at the time – you know, I don't know, they had handheld video games, whatever they were, and they had no concept of any of these, you know, games. What's that other one with the rods, the wooden rods? And they go in,
dude, that's so funny. I was thinking the same thing. I can't remember the name of it. But
they came in a big cylindrical, like, cardboard tube.
I had them too, man, and the erector sets. And it's just everybody, I highly recommend if you've never done the queue, it's worth going through. And then Mr. Potato Head, when he's working, he's phenomenal. And he works more than the Yeti, I'll tell you that. Lisa's eyes just don't glow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is awesome. And the guys that designed that, isn't there chutes and ladders, I think they have?
Yes.
All kinds of stuff.
Exactly. See, look how much conversation it just provoked from us.
Yep.
That's what I love. That's the reason why that ride is so near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, it is a great attraction. I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but I don't give it a hard time because I can understand why a lot of people love it. It is a great attraction.
Oh, I have a great time. Me and my godson had a blast on it a couple times this last trip, and I beat him. I beat him both times, and I beat him on Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin too. I still took the kid down.
No mercy.
Nope. He's 20 years old. I never gave him mercy. I don't believe in that. Yeah. I believe in picking them up, but don't let them win.
There you go.
Yep. So the final tally is, so we can end this wonderful show. The final tally was 20 was Disney Junior Live on Stage. 19 was Star Wars, a Galaxy Far, Far Away. Number 18 was for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration. 17 was Star Wars, Path of a Jedi. 16 was March of the First Order. 15 was Jedi Training, Trials of the Temple. I think me and you made these all down there, Dan. 14 was Voyage of the Little Mermaid. 13, and I think this was both our faults, Dan. I think this should have been a little higher, was Star Wars, a Galactic Spectacular, because that is a good show.
Yep.
I think it should have been ahead of this, Star Wars Launch Bay, myself. 11 was Beauty and the Beast live on stage. 12 was Star Wars Launch Bay. 11 was Beauty and the Beast live on stage. 10 was Indiana Jones, an epic stunt spectacular. 9 was Citizens of Hollywood. I'm glad that as high as it is.
Yeah.
8, Walt Disney's One Man Dream. 7, Fantasmic. 6, Star Tours, The Adventure Continues. 5, Toy Story Mania. 4, Muppets. 3, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. 2, The Great Movie Ride. And number 1 was Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith.
Yep.
So I got to get everybody on the Toy Story beaten path.
Yep, you're going to stuff the ballot box and see what happens on Monday or whenever he puts the results out from – you said that's coming out Friday. He's going to run the article with the voting for these attractions.
Yes, let me double check here. He said blah, 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 blah. And blah, 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 blah. Tell them the first round will drop on Friday.
Okay.
You know, all right, then. He did his Charlie Brown voice the whole time, and then he went and told me that.
So all of you that disagree with us will have your chance to make it right on Friday.
And we'll get John's top 10 Star Wars list on Sunday.
Right. You'll just take our list and flip them upside down, and you'll have John's list, I'm guessing.
But I know he loves Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. And I even think he does – I think he likes a great movie, right, quite a bit too, because he talks about his son and all and that. So,
yep.
This was a lot of fun, Dan. It was a nice, short, sweet show. If we didn't babble so much, it would have been a lot quicker. But we got to babble a little bit.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the show.
Absolutely, us babbling.
Yes.
But it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad you're back, buddy. It's nice having you on the show again. I'm glad your vacation ended soon.
it ended prematurely, but that was a good thing in this case. And it is good to be back. And it's like I was never gone. I'm back in the groove again and ready to go for Sunday for our next show.
Yeah, and I picked on Judith today. And, I mean, apparently the show's just not good without you is what she told me.
Oh, is that right? I didn't see that.
No, she said, "Yay, I'm so glad Dennis is back." And I said, "What are we, chopped liver?" And then she got upset, like not upset, but she was like, "Oh, don't be like that. I like yous all together." So let's, Jen, between me and you and not all the listeners, I wonder if she's going to complain John and Bob ain't on tonight. Let's see how that goes. I think I'm the one that shouldn't be here. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing in common. You've never not been here because you run the show. So you've been through all of them. For good or for bad, you've been in every single show of
Main Street.
WDW Main Street has featured you. So
Maybe it would be better if I just ran it and you three talked.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Nah, but I have so much fun talking to you guys. I kid because I care. I really enjoy doing this, and I look forward to doing many, many more. Hopefully we don't stop this anytime soon, because I enjoy these conversations about Toy Story, Lincoln Logs, our friends like Judith and Pat and all those good guys. It's a lot of fun. We kid because we care, right, Dan?
Yeah, and what do we got? We're, what, a 3:32? And this one that we're recording is, I think, 3:33. Does that sound right?
Yeah, we're getting up there.
In and around there, yeah. We gotta really plan a one of these big number shows. We gotta plan something special.
Absolutely, and we did get another review. I'm gonna I will read the reviews that we got on iTunes. We got another couple reviews. You should go over there and read them. There's some really nice things.
I will. And
I'll read the new one on. I'll read the new ones on Sunday. But guys, we really appreciate you going over to iTunes. It lets us know that you really do appreciate the show. If you could please go over and leave us a review, we know it's a pain in the butt, but I think we might be a little bit worth it. I hope. And even if we're not, go yell at us. Tell us how bad we are. But go over to iTunes and leave us a review. Please go over to It's All in WDW and check out Bob's latest and greatest articles. John's articles. One of these days, Dan, me and you'll have another one on there soon.
Yeah, we're slacking. We didn't. Bob's always looking for content, and I got a bunch of stuff, as do you. But it's one of those things, just finding the time. But we will do it.
Absolutely. But yeah, head over to It's All in WDW and check out the website. You can also find Bob at It's All in WDW. You can find John at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. You can find us all on Facebook and on Twitter at WDW Main Street. Everybody have a safe rest of your week. Be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon.
Good night.
Oh, my siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people. And welcome to Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. Hey, Michael, mi amigo, pay attention, it's Joe time.
So it is, and what darling people I have sitting under me. Pierre, you rascal, you, let's put on the show.
Mon ami, I am always ready, as you say, to put on the show. Oh, pardon, madame, that whistle was for my good friend, Fritz.
Ach, du lieber, I almost fell out of my upper perch. Glad to see you all aboard, ashore, or wherever you are. My goodness, you're all staring at us. We better start the show rolling.
Wait, we forgot to wake up the Glee Club.
Oh, it's show time.
In the tiki 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 room. In the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd be the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room. In the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
I sing so beautiful, I should sing solo.
See, so low we can't hear you.
My voice may not be so marvelous, but my profile is out of this world.
Jawohl, but the trouble is, it's not far enough out of this world. Isn't that right, Herr Schmidt? I see, Schmidt has no hair.
Mi amigo, stop the clucking. You sound like a bunch of old hens. There's a lot of birds waiting to go on. For instance...
The boys in the back are called macaws.
Because of their claws?
No, because they're macaws. And our fine feathered friend is a jolly toucan. And toucan sounds better than one toucan can.
The bird of paradise is an elegant bird. It likes to be seen and it loves to be heard. Most little birdies will fly away, but the tiki room birds are here every day.
In the tiki 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 room. In the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Our show is delightful, we hope you'll agree. We hope that it fills you with pleasure and glee. Because if we don't make you feel like that, we're gonna wind up on a lady's hat.
In the tiki 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 room. In the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Our magnificent production is yet to come. So strum the guitar and beat the drum. We've been a hit and we know you adore us. So come on and join us in another chorus.
In the tiki 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 room. In the tiki 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 room.
A little song down.
All the birds sing one.